Good morning. Happy Wednesday. We have successfully made it halfway through the week. Huzzah. I'm just over here cooking dinner. Today, what? Excuse me. Semi-profitable. I think it's funny that I picked the topic I picked for this week because this is how my morning went. And if my husband listens to this, I'm absolutely 100% not sorry for this. I woke up this morning. Tyler and Easton leave the house at like 7:30-ish. So I get up, get Easton dressed, make sure he has breakfast, all that jazz. Typically, my other kids wake up in that time too. And then I get started with my morning. And I was so tired this morning. Parker did not sleep well last night. We're all battling allergies yet again because North Carolina allergies are just vicious. We cannot knock them. And so I literally handed my kids an iPad this morning at 8 o'clock in the morning and made them sit on my bed and watch kids YouTube for an hour and a half while I took a nap. And when I woke up at 9:30, I felt like a new human being. And I drank coffee and I was able to get the boys' room clean and I was able to get my room somewhat clean and do laundry and dishes. I finally got through the dishes that have been piling up in my sink for like 2 days because that's just the way my life has gone. But I was laughing because I was like, wow, what a perfect example of realizing what I needed to be able to do my best. So, which is the topic of tonight's podcast. Let's talk a little bit about self-care. I think this is a really triggering word for some people. I hate that word, triggered. Oh my gosh. But here's why. This is what I think back to. When I was a newer mom, Wyatt was a newborn. Many of you may be very familiar with the name Rachel Harris. Ooh, that name should make the hair stand on the back of your neck, by the way. She came out with a book that became wildly popular among girls my age, especially young moms. And it was called Girl Wash Your Face. And basically, this was the ultimate self-help book where she talked about how you don't need to listen to what other people say. You are the best. Da 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 da. On and on about how important self-care was. I was selling skincare products at the time, and man, this book just spoke to me. And I will say, like, it really did help me as a new young mom who was struggling a little bit. And her book, I thought it was so good. And there was so much controversy about her book. And I still to this day don't have an issue at all with her book or what she said. I still think it's an excellent book. I'll get to in a minute what my issue is with her. Then she wrote a book maybe a year later called Girl Stop Apologizing. And I'm going to be honest, I bought the book because of the hype and I've never actually read it. I've read maybe a chapter and a half. I could never get into it though. After that, and I just didn't have time to read like I wanted to. But it was about that time where the ideology about self-care really got like its negative connotation in Christian circles, because all of a sudden self-care was viewed as a super like selfish, only taking time for me, not putting my family before me, making sure that I'm good. And I won't lie, there was some stuff in Rachel Harris's book that was pretty selfish. Turns out years later, right after she wrote Girl Wash Your Face, she actually came out with a third book, which I did not buy, because it was all about how she was going to leave her husband. The woman who stood in front of other women and talked about entrepreneurship and her marriage and God was leaving her husband after all these years. And her excuse was, we just decided it was the best way for us to go. What? That's literally like Nicholas Sparks, who wrote romance novels, getting a divorce from his wife, right? Like a guy who writes romance novels can't go wrong with his wife, right? And yet here they were getting a divorce. It was very bizarre. Anyway, it's about this time that the idea of self-care became really, really big. And it still remains really big among my generation. And I think a lot of it is because we begin to realize that you literally cannot go and go and go and go and go and go to the point of where you are so burnt out that you're literally just falling flat on your face from exhaustion. Like, it's just not a smart thing. For me, as a mom, I am the kind of person that when I hit the point where I'm like, I am so done, I am so physically exhausted, I am so burnt out, I literally cannot keep going. I can't. Nothing gets done. I literally shut down. Like, things do not get done in my house. The dishes pile up in my sink for 2 days. I have no motivation. The laundry doesn't get put away. It's just rough. And it's not that I let my house sit in like turmoil and distress. I'm definitely still like, okay, I have to feed my kids. My kids have to have clothes. I take a shower. Like, my daughter's currently yelling at me. But it's very much a mindset of like, I'm super unmotivated. Like, I just don't have the heart to do it anymore. And so about the time, it was actually during my pregnancy with Wyatt where I really latched on to taking care of myself. I spent a lot of my pregnancy with Wyatt very, very sick. And so I learned that there were just certain things that I needed to do for myself to take care of my body, which was growing a human, a whole human. I had to take care of my body to put myself in the position to be the best that I could be for my other child that I had, who was being horribly neglected and pushed off to the side because I was so sick all the time. And I kind of ended up carrying that with me through the rest of my parenting journey. Now, as a mom of four, my self-care looks wildly different than it did years ago. And some of that is because I have actually started to pick back up habits and hobbies and things that I really, really loved doing before I had children that I realized had been really put on the back burner. Sorry, got a text message, got distracted. Got put on the back burner when I became a mom because I was just like, I don't have time for this anymore. Like reading books. I was an avid reader. Avid reader? Avid reader. Let me say avid. I was an avid reader before I had kids. I mean, I'm talking constantly going to the library, constantly checking out books. And then when I got engaged, it kind of fell off to the wayside. I didn't do it as much. And I really like lost my love for it. And I've recently started picking up reading books again. I've recently become highly addicted to Colleen Hoover books. If you know, you know. They're not for everybody, by the way. I will say that. But I found a joy for reading again, and having a nursing infant actually allows me the ability and the time to read rather than scrolling through my phone mindlessly while I nurse. I read. I have tried to set spiritual goals for myself. I really want to read my Bible through 90 days. I started doing it. It didn't work out as well because life just got really crazy. But I do intend this fall to pick that back up and plan to read through my Bible in 90 days just to challenge myself. I really wanted to set a goal this fall to challenge my potential. Our family's getting ready to go through a lot of transitions, and I wanted to put myself in the position to be the very best that I could be. Having both of my boys in school does allow me 3 hours a day where my daughter is napping, and I can have those 3 hours completely to myself to take care of me. My evenings when Tyler's at softball and the kids are in bed, I can use that time to take care of me. Now, let me clarify something. Moms, listen carefully. Grocery shopping by yourself is not self-care. Is it enjoyable? Yes. Is it something we want to do? Yes. That is not self-care. Taking a shower is not self-care, okay? Things that you have to do to live your life and be a functioning human being is not self-care. When I talk about self-care, I'm talking about finding a hobby. I'm talking about playing a sport. I'm talking about reading a book you want to read or doing a face mask that you want to do, getting a haircut, going to get your nails done. Okay, this is what I'm talking about. I am talking about you going out of your way to take care of yourself so that your cup can be full. I saw something today. Man, I tell you what, this week, all the stuff. There is a girl who I follow on Instagram. Her Instagram name is Brush and Barley. I really need to keep working on the Facebook page, and possibly even get my Instagram back up and going. So if I do, I will share her link on there. Her stuff is super good most of the time. But she shared this thing today, literally about pouring from an empty cup. And she talked about how sometimes The thing that we miss, the concept that we miss when we talk about how you can or cannot pour from an empty cup, is that everybody's cup is a different size. And it's based on the season of life that you're in. So she said, sometimes she said, my cup is a Stanley tumbler. She's like, right now, that is my life. I have a Stanley tumbler. And I feel like I just have endless amounts of things to pour out to other people. And she said, but there have been points in my life where my cup was an espresso glass. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like that makes so much sense. So when someone says, my cup is so empty, don't look at them and compare their cup to yours because their cup looks different than yours. And it really doesn't matter if they're in the same season of life as you and they have a newborn or they have the same number of kids or they're also a homeschooling mom or their kids are also in school or their husband is also deployed or their husband is a civilian. It doesn't matter. Their cup is allowed to be a different size than yours. And when they say, my cup is so empty, it's a valid thing. And they are allowed to feel that way and to process that how they need to process that. And when someone says that to you 9 times out of 10, I promise you that what they're asking you for without asking for it is support. Okay? And maybe it's okay for you to look at them and say, you know what? Mine is empty too. Because even when your cups are empty, sometimes you can find solace in having a friend whose cup is also empty, and you can maybe you can't support that person the way they need to be supported, but you definitely can lean on and encourage one another. And that in and of itself could help you fill someone else's cup and even fill your own. I find that there have been times in my life, especially when we were in Okinawa and things got really discouraging with lockdowns, where I would be so depressed and so discouraged. Tyler would be gone. I'd be on my own with the kids. And I would deliberately set out to find other people to help. We had a page for the people who got stuck in isolation who would need groceries or coffee. And I would deliberately go on that page and find people who needed things from the commissary or things around town. And I would pack up all of my kids and we would go get those things for those people. And I cannot even tell you how full that made me feel to do that and how refreshing it was. Because sometimes when you're in those really dark moments, you need to find someone else who you can encourage and support, and that in and of itself can fill your cup too. So, find yourself a hobby, read that book that you want to read, and if you're thinking, oh, I don't have time to do that, make time. Believe me, there is time. I have another person I follow on Instagram. We have known each other for several years, and she listens to audiobooks, and then she's been posting all the books she's been able to, quote unquote, read in a month. She's reading without having to read. It's amazing. She's still getting to do something she loves while she washes dishes or does laundry or whatever she needs to do. Maybe this is going to sound silly, but this is the day and age we live in. Maybe your self-care is making goofy TikToks or making TikToks, period. I have found that I really enjoy making TikToks. I'm terrible at it, but I really don't care because I'm not in it for the money or the fame or fortune. I'm in it to encourage myself, and to give me something to do, and it's very motivating to me. Find something you want to do. Find yourself a hobby. Put on a face mask before bed one night. Pick a book to read with your husband. Find a babysitter and go grocery shopping with your husband. I think that is self-care. Date nights are self-care, not just for you, but also for your husband. And I think men have a harder time acknowledging that they need self-care too than women do, and they need that encouragement from us to do it. But that's a different topic for a different time. So, here's my encouragement for you today as you start the day. Find 30 minutes today. 30 minutes to do something for you that you don't normally do. Something that you love. Something that you always say, I don't have time for that. Make it happen. Find the 30 minutes because you are important. Your cup needs to be filled. It may not be full. It may be halfway full. You may just be needing an espresso shot today. Fill your cup. Make it happen because you're important and you cannot fill from your empty cup to serve your family. Your kids go down for a nap, take a nap, read a book, watch a show. Do whatever you need to do today for 30 minutes to just remind yourself that you're important too. And that's what I'm going to leave you with. So, have a great rest of your day, and I'll talk to you all tomorrow. You are listening to Caffeine and Chaos, a podcast for moms by a mom who's just taking it one day and one cup of coffee at a time. So sit back, relax, and come join me.